This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Oh, all those scattered pictures. Sing it, Barbara.
Pictures of the smiles we left behind. Smiles we gave to one another.
The way they were, the UK and the EU, remember.
This referendum on France's membership in the European Union is a democratic necessity. The French people must also be able to choose this right to liberty that would give France its full and whole sovereignty.
Can it be that it was all so simple then?
That's Marine Le Pen, leader of France's National Front Party. And like other nationalist voices in the EU, they are overjoyed at this split. In a moment, a look at the road ahead, the view from Paris and Berlin. But before you have a Brexit fatigue moment and run screaming to your isolationist corner, some thoughts from you on the big split. Ever had one? Some way we were memories now from you.
This is Jim in Dayton, Oregon. I left my boyfriend of 2 years who got drunk and took a swing at me. No regrets.
Hi, it's Hillary calling from California. I left the Army when my enlistment was over, but 13 years later, I still think and dream of the people that I served with. I don't regret leaving, but I miss the people.
My name is Julianne. I'm calling from Washington. I just left my job. Today is my first day away from my job, and I feel some regret and a lot of relief, but it was the best thing for my mental and physical health.
This is Patrick Gallagher from Hawaii, and in 1979, I left Columbia House Record Company. That was back when it was LPs and cassettes, and I have no regrets.
Austin, Texas told us, the Navy, I did 20 honorably and proud of it, still miss the lifestyle and challenges that came with operations. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us your The Way We Were story or at thetakeaway.org. Joining me to discuss the way we were issues between the EU and the UK, the UK, by the way, that seems full of some regrets if names on online petitions to have another referendum over the weekend are any indication. The Paris view from Elaine Salino, former New York Times Paris bureau chief and author of The Only Street in Paris. And joining us from Bonn is Constanze Stelzenmüller, Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on United States and Europe at Brookings.
There is a difference of opinion in Germany on how to go forward. The foreign minister, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, on Saturday met with the foreign ministers of the five other founding countries of the EU, and they agreed with a position espoused earlier by EU heads such as Mr. Juncker, the Commission President, saying that there was no way back and Britain should invoke Article 50, which will trigger the negotiations as quickly as possible. And indeed, what they are afraid of, and what the French in particular and others who have large populist movements are very afraid of, is a contagion effect. Now, Chancellor Merkel sees things differently, and her chief of staff as well, Peter Altmaier, they've made it very clear they want to take this slowly. They have suggested there might be a way of reversing the process even, and they are clearly against those who say, you know, there has to be a punishment here so that other people, such as the French populist leader and the Dutch populist leader, who've already called for a national referendum in their countries, France and the Netherlands, don't get inspired by this.
Does Angela Merkel have much to deal with Frau Capetri? And how would you gauge the political issues for Germany versus France and the Netherlands?
Sure. So Frau Capetri is the head of the populist movement that I just mentioned. And this populist movement sort of had a bit of an uptick a couple months ago when they got double-digit results in three regional elections, between 10 and slightly over 20%. But events since then have suggested they may have peaked, at least for the moment. They are riven by internal discord, Frau Capetri's leadership position being sawed at on a daily basis. That said, of course, this party represents a popular mood, and it even though it is not in the federal legislature yet, People expect it to be come the next German elections in 2017. And they, like many populist parties in Europe and indeed in America, they're already constraining the space for public debate and action by policymakers and governments. So they are dangerous, but it's not quite on the level of France's Marine Le Pen with the Front National, who has polled much, much higher and whom I think President Hollande genuinely has to fear.
So, Elaine, is time on the side of the nationalists, whatever the economic consequences are of a quick exit?
Well, it's not just the nationalists. It's not just the far-right National Front that is in play here. You've got the center-right, former President Sarkozy. You've got the former Prime Minister Alain Juppé. You've got the former Agricultural Minister Bruno Le Maire. They all want to be president, and they all have different lines on what should be done. You know, Sarkozy is calling for an opportunity for a new start, whatever that means. Le Maire has actually asked for a referendum for a new treaty. These are not far-right guys, although they are moving further to the right as France becomes more populist. This comes in a larger context of the French economy being in a very difficult situation with more than 10% unemployment. Employment laws are such that it's just too expensive to hire people. There are high social charges. And the fear of globalization goes back in France more than a decade. And let's not forget that in 2005, it was France that had its own referendum on Europe with the vote to either approve or not approve what was then a huge document called the European Constitution. And the French voted overwhelmingly to reject it. It was farmers, workers, unemployed, right, who said no. It also comes in the context of a real social cleavage after the terrorist attacks of last year in France, where the prime minister declared that France is separated by a territorial, social, and ethnic apartheid. And this is very dangerous, and this is what François Hollande is facing.
So both of you have described in very local terms what's happening here, and I like that, because over the weekend, I tell you, the back page of every newspaper and magazine seemed like a civics term paper or a PhD thesis on Europe going back to the 1930s and the entire 1945 order crumbling. What do you make of that, Elaine? And then Constance.
France wants to be the leader of Europe. France is in the euro. Right now, the best thing that could happen is for Hollande and Merkel to come up with some sort of modus operandi and work together to preserve Europe. It's going to take real leadership, and leadership that's not easy, because it's not easy to sell the European experiment project to people who don't have jobs, who farmers who are losing subsidies, who are not able to make a living, for young people who can't get jobs here in France and were hoping to go to England. Don't forget, London was the promised land, the holy grail for so many French people, young French people who can't get jobs here.
Well, London, as the Emerald City notwithstanding, Constance, what do you make of this deep psychological, let's go back to the Europe of the 1800s idea that was on the back pages all the weekend long?
Dissolution of the European Union is not an option. We are so deeply integrated with each other, legally, factually, socially, economically, politically, it's unimaginable. And in my view, the British have been pursuing a delusion of sovereignty and control. This will be horribly painful for them. One can only feel terribly, terribly sorry. But I'm sure that Merkel and others will do what it takes to keep this together.
Constance Stelzenmüller is Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at Brookings. And Elaine Zolino is former New York Times Paris Bureau Chief and author of The Only Street in Paris. Elaine, Constance, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.